views of our citizens will determine our destiny as a nation.
Since God only blesses those nations whose God is the Lord, what will happen to a nation who rejects the Lord?
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education.
What are the repercussions of this nation losing its biblical worldview?
Our guest is George Barna, the founder and director of the Barna Research Group and author of Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions, Why Children Should Be Your Church's Number One Priority. George Barna, you wrote that most of those who receive Christ as their Savior do so under the age of 13, and that by age 13, a person has formed most of their basic beliefs. By age 13, and yet only 3% of 13-year-olds have a biblical worldview. George, what does your research show about the age a person receives the Lord?
Well, as you look at the research, what you find is that the vast majority of individuals who embrace Jesus as their Savior do so when they're young. What we consistently find is that if you're looking at the moral or spiritual development of an individual, it's those years before the age of 13 that pretty much determine who you become as an adult and how you're going to live the rest of your life.
I thought it was interesting that you found out that 9 out of 10 young people, which is 93%, consider themselves to be Christian by age 13, and yet you asked more in-depth questions and found out that only 4% of all 13-year-olds are classified as evangelicals. Can you explain that?
A lot of the people who call themselves born-again Christians also admit that they have no relationship with Jesus Christ whatsoever. The big issue I think that faces America today is that they don't act like Christians. We don't see any difference in their lives. Frankly, one of the most important things that we found is that the reason why churches in America struggle so much with adults is because we didn't take those people seriously when they were children. You've got basically 12 years with kids to shape them and develop them and direct them to the kind of people they're going to be. By the age of 13, they are pretty well formed. Frankly, in most cases, what we see is that there is no change that takes place after that. So those first dozen years are really the critical years in a person's life.
You're saying the battlefront is over the minds of the children, because that's where Satan, the master strategist, is really wanting to take captive this nation, because if he's got a kid in the early years, he's got him for the rest of his life.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about what kind of strategy you would want to put into place if you were in war. You can wait until a soldier is in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and then try to convert them to your side, or when that person is very young, when they're 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years old, you could instead try to convert them at that point in time. First of all, it's a much easier conversion process when they're young. Secondly, it means that you've got them for a much longer period of time to try to win over those potential recruits when they're young. And I believe that's exactly what's happening in our culture today.
And on the other hand, if we win over the children so they love the Lord with all their heart, mind, strength, and soul, then we'll no longer need to fight abortion, homosexuality, gambling, pornography, all the sins and vices, because the children will grow up to know what's right and what's wrong.
So many churches think that the spiritual gifts that God has given to them are to be used only in ministering to other people their age, in other words, to their peers. But why is it, for instance, that somebody who has the spiritual gift of teaching can only teach people their own age? Why can't they use that gift to teach kids? Frankly, the gain is not won or lost with adults. It's won or lost before they become adults. How does a church generally determine whether or not it's successful? It counts how many people show up on the weekend, or how many programs do we have in place right now. But Jesus didn't die on the cross for any of that stuff. He died so that people would understand what this life is about. It's not about us. It's about loving God with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. It's about being willing to sacrifice and surrender and be broken so that we can be more like the one who died for us on that cross. We found very few churches have any kind of evaluation process that looks at transformation in people's lives, as opposed to mere attendance and funding figures.
Because when you realize only 3% of 13-year-olds in America have a Christian or biblical worldview, that's absolutely shocking to think that 13-year-olds are stuck in their belief systems for the rest of their life.
And that's why I think this is such a critical message for everyone, not just pastors, not just the professionals in ministry, but for every parent, every youth worker, every person with a brain and a heart, basically. We cannot wait until somebody's a teenager or a college student to say, oh, okay, now they can really think. Now we'll get serious. The world has them by that time.
Well, why do you say that they won't change at age 13?
It's not that I don't say they won't change. I mean, the research is showing that as we track them over the course of time, there isn't any change. change. They're not looking to change. You see, they've already gone through a developmental process where they've been asking questions and searching for answers. And by that age, they've come up with the answers to almost all of the key questions that they're going to be asking about life. And so they're not asking the questions anymore. Kids themselves, by age 13, more than 3 out of 4 of them tell us, the chances of my changing my beliefs in the future is slim to none.
Our guest has been the founder and director of Barna Research, George Barna. The gospel message that Jesus died so that we might have life is either accepted and believed or rejected at an early age. And yet children have not been a top priority for the church in America. Our guest is Dan Smithwick, president of the Nehemiah Institute, was a teacher in public and private schools. Dan Smithwick has done some fascinating research on the role of Christianity in culture. 25 years ago, he developed a biblical worldview test, and his institute has demonstrated that our culture is rapidly becoming a pagan or secular culture. What most people don't realize is what that culture will look like. Dan Smithwick recently returned from a trip to Haiti. Dan, do you want to tell us about your trip?
It was a shock to see the level of poverty that has happened in that country. It's compounded, of course, with the earthquake years ago. But it was very troubling as I learned the story of how the island was initially discovered by Columbus, planted a Christian community, but eventually through acquiring slaves from Africa that brought in voodoo religion, and ultimately the island of Haiti adopted voodoo as their national religion. And it just struck me about the consequences of trading the light of the gospel for a false pagan religion. It made me on the way home think, is America flirting with us? Are we trading the light of Christianity that was brought here 400 years ago for another pagan religion that we all refer to as humanism?
Dan, I just want to say that there was quite a contrast between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, both on the same island, both separated by just a border, and yet look at the difference in the standard of living of both. Do you want to compare those two?
Yeah, it's very stark difference, especially if you see it from the air. The right side, Dominican Republic, is green, and the left side, Haiti, is brown because they have deforested the mountains. That has to be some connection with their paganistic rituals brought in through voodoo religion. So the idea that religion doesn't have an impact on culture, it just impacts your soul, is nonsense. That view plays out in everything we do to decide how now shall we live. And Haiti is suffering tremendously, but the Dominican Republic has a pretty strong, good Western civilization lifestyle.
Your description of it is horrific. You said there were no roads, no addresses. The stench burned your eyes the whole time you were there. There was no clean water to drink at home or church. You were also robbed, and you slept on a mattress that you discovered mice were crawling around under there.
That was an experience, being in a bed with a net over it because of the mosquito problems, because all the houses are all open, and suddenly discovering that there's nests of mice crawling under your body all night. That was not very comforting.
And you did get robbed, correct?
Yes, I woke up in the morning, discovered cash in my wallet, and my pants pocket was missing. And this is in the house of one of the leaders of the Christian community that's there. It's just very troubling what's happened to this people. And there are good people there, and there are good ministries there that are trying to make a difference. And I applaud that. But I just say, is this a picture of what happens to a nation that has tasted the good waters of God and traded it away? And that's my hurt today for where is America at?
Well, we really have taken this Christian morality in this nation for granted for too long. We seem to have forgotten that there's no biblical morality without the gospel. So what's coming is tyranny and diminished standards of living. I think about Russia, how an atheist nation took out the gospel. They begged for the Christians to come back and establish biblical morality so that they could not see corruption that they saw without God, with atheism.
Isn't that amazing? People from those countries that come here, they say, what is wrong with you people? Do you not see the consequences of what you're doing? Clearly an affront to God. They're just appalled that we don't see this.
Okay, now Dan, you've been doing the PIRS testing now for 25 years. What is the PIRS test? What results have you seen?
This PIRS test, P-E-E-R-S, is an acronym standing for politics, economics, education, religion, and social issues. And this test is used largely by Christian high school students. We've also worked with Christian colleges. When we began this back in the mid-80s, we would find youth from Christian homes scoring what we call the moderate Christian worldview. But for 25 years, we have seen the results drop. And now, at least 90% score in the secular humanism, if not in the socialist worldview category. These are kids from Christian homes, in Christian churches, in youth groups, yet their education is causing them to sway towards a secularist worldview.
Years ago, when we first interviewed you, we were surprised to hear how such a large percentage of Christian youth would go to public schools where humanists, even socialists, would teach them a curriculum of socialism. And we were shocked to hear that word socialism. And now we take a look at the voting record of these young people and we see they're voting socialist. Result is we're getting a socialist students who vote for socialist government and we're creating a socialist economy that has been shown throughout the world not to work as good as capitalism.
We've made socialism a word in America that we're becoming more and more comfortable with. Lincoln said the philosophy of the classroom of one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next generation. And that's playing out before our very eyes.
That students in Christian schools now are also embracing the secular view of life.
We say, well, where do you get your teachers from? They get teachers from secular universities with degrees in education. They're in churches where nothing is being said about worldview. So they have teachers coming in the front door with a lot of John Dewey philosophy. So they don't know that they don't know. You know what I find that's really troubling? When I'm in schools, one of the issues that comes up is the whole issue of homosexuality. And I increasingly find young students from Christian homes just not willing to say, this is absolutely an abomination to God.
Many, many young people are saying, hey, what's wrong with homosexual marriage or same-sex marriage? Because they love each other. So the problem is we've lost the absolute truth.
You're not opposed to love, are you, Dan? We love our cats, but we don't marry them. You might like a relative, but you don't marry them.
Why not? Where do we draw the line?
Yeah, what about polygamy? How many wives do you want? So as we lose the biblical morality, we really lose our direction as a nation. A surprising large percentage of Christian students believe the Bible is not all that accurate in what it teaches.
Well, once you go down that road, there is no boundary that you can't cross. It's just hopelessness.
Your results from public schools and traditional Christian schools mean that over 90% of youth from Christian homes are now embracing a strong secular view of life. It means that the future of the church is really in jeopardy. I mean, we're not going to have any youth even attending church pretty soon.
Exactly right. We have the data, 7 million data points to justify why we make that statement. Many pastors ask, we've had these kids for 18 years. They go off to college, they aren't gone 6 months, and they don't go to church, they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, and they say, why? Well, here's why. We didn't give them a worldview that made the Christian faith important to them. So look at the Pearce Trend Chart. Here's a picture of a nation that's going to look like Europe. Less than 10% of the people will be in church on any given Sunday because that's exactly what Europe has done. They've abandoned the Christian faith. Many nations in Europe are going Muslim, not just secular, but Muslim, and that's happening right here in our country. So I'm very, very concerned where this is headed, and I pray for God to get our attention before it's irreversible.
Now, Dan, I just think it's interesting, this Pearce test, you began it in 1988. You said you have 6 million data points. That's 90,000 high school youth have taken this test.
Yes.
And so we're getting a real accurate picture, aren't we?
It's very accurate, and we're not getting the job done. We are not training up the next generation in the way they should go. That makes for a very dark world that our young people are going to be stepping into.
Well, now, what kind of questions do you ask?
What is the biblical role of government? Founding fathers put together a governmental system that stressed the importance of limited civil government. We are way, way beyond that thinking anymore. We want big government in this country. We have all kinds of programs, entitlement-based, and so young people grow up with this entitlement attitude regarding their education, homes, housing, health care. That's very unbiblical and very dangerous.
Ask the average parent who's in charge of their child's education, they'll say their local public school. They don't think of it from a biblical point of view, do they?
No, they don't, because they themselves were victimized by that practice, and so it's just what's happened to us. So we ask questions about free market, and we are very troubled by what we see in that. The majority of youth in Christian schools do not believe free market is a biblical system, should be embraced. So once you get students thinking this way, then it's pretty easy to get legislation pushed through that supports a non-biblical or a socialist way of life.
So to think that we can spread the wealth around really is a socialist idea.
Of course it is. The redistribution of wealth, your wealth is not right. It wasn't you that made you get that wealth. It was everybody. Yes, it's very troubling, and I'm so grateful that there are people like you guys who go on the air and alert our Christian audience of the dangers that we're faced with this kind of a trend continuing.
Yeah, really. I mean, a lot of people think, well, it's TV, the internet, that's what's influencing the children the most, but the education has the most influence on one's overall view. And the Pearce test doesn't paint a very good picture. Over the past 25 years shows the following. Biblical worldview, only 6.1%.
Our kids rejecting biblical truth for socialist secular thinking.
Oh, and you know, also just morality, because I can't tell you how many girls pregnant or have children and they're not married and they're Christian supposedly and they're living with people.
Years ago, we had a very large segment of our population that had a Christian worldview, but as the years passed and more of our generations went through the public school system, fewer and fewer had a Christian worldview. So today, I think it's like 4% of this generation has a biblical worldview. And yet, Jesus in Matthew 28 says, go into all nations and make disciples and teach them.
The church is not discipling her youth into the Christian faith, and that is deeply troubling because that is the Great Commission's go teach and disciple. We have our own church youth that aren't being discipled.
Well, they're being discipled, but into humanism. We tend to think of discipleship as just being Christian, but it can go the other way too. Discipleship can be leading people into a secular, humanist, socialist worldview.
That's exactly right, because they are being discipled to a different worldview. We're talking about war here, you know, between two major different worldviews. We need to get more pastors to understand what's happening in education, rather than just assuming that things are fine. I hear this a lot too. Yes, we know there are problems in the public schools in America, but fortunately, our school's pretty good. It's crazy.
Dan, you said the most difficult group to work with has been the church youth group. Why do you say that?
A high percentage, if not 100%, of the youth group members are in public schools. So they're already with a bent towards a secular philosophy of life. And in most cases, they have a youth pastor who has found that the best way to keep the youth group active is to be cool and to do things that kids enjoy doing these days. So if that's the recipe for attracting kids, you've created an environment that's not at all going to be that excited about getting into serious Bible study.
Well, it's serious entertainment. That's what it is. It's not discipleship.
For sure.
Some people might ask, why haven't we heard anything about this from the pulpit? And you wrote, decades ago, churches stopped teaching a worldview sermon.
Yeah, used to. In America, 100 years ago, we'd have worldview sermons, especially around election time. Pastors would be teaching on matters important to the state of the nation. But that's long gone.
And you wrote that less than 0.75% of youth from Christian homes are in programs that consistently equip students with a mature biblical worldview. Less than 0.75%.
Yes, because 85% of the Christian community in America uses the secular government school system. That 90% of those students are favoring a secular view of life. So you're down to less than 1%.
Oh, that's just...
That's hardly a remnant even.
Yeah, that's true. We used to think that we'd lost 70% of the Christian youth, but then we find out, no, the ones that are left, the ones that still say they're Christian, they don't have a Christian worldview. They don't have a biblical worldview. It's obvious that their worldview has been formed by the school they go to. That's called discipleship. Jesus said, a student will become like his teacher. Why should that surprise us?
Right. This whole thing, of course, is now the new fight we have with Common Core. Talk about troubling. This is taking the whole matter of pushing a secular worldview to a whole new level through the Common Core program. It's absolutely naive to think that Common Core is simply about creating standards. This is a whole psychological warfare program that's been put together to gather data about the youth in the classrooms and steer them away from a Christian worldview. That's exactly what this program is intended to do. I just shudder at how few pastors understand that. Even Christian publishers, we're finding, adopted different portions of Common Core program.
Give us some examples of what you don't like about Common Core.
It has removed many of the classic writings that have been in schools that were considered a part of being classically educated. Tools like wristbands to measure with a student's response when a particular topic is discussed so that they can determine if a student is negatively reacting to a social program that they want to promote. And this data is being recorded. So for the rest of the student's life, life, this data is there that this student responded this way, as we talked about homosexuality or gay marriage. The whole thing with NSA Common Core is feeding right into it.
Most people believed that public education throughout America was bad, but they always thought their local public schools are just fine. Well, there goes that idea with Common Core, because the federal government is going to be telling people what will be on the test, and of course then the schools will teach according to the test. So the federal government, in essence, is taking over the curriculum.
Of course, but it's all a push toward capturing the youth with a secular, non-Christian worldview. And they're being very effective at it. They know what they're doing, and they are winning the game.
Ask the average young Christian some questions. You'll find they don't have a biblical worldview. For example, there's a belief that the devil or Satan is not really a living being, but simply a symbol of evil, a theoretical abstract, not a real spirit person. And that Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, he did sin just like everybody else. And so you get all these different ideas that are not biblical.
Sure. Basic Christian doctrine is being rejected by youth, even from within our own Christian homes, because they're being bombarded with it.
You know what? When you think of what Dewey did, because he had a lot to do with our current educational system, and he was anti-Christian, anti-God. And so is it any wonder that this anti-Christian worldview came into the public school?
Sure, it's no wonder at all. John Dewey, son of a Lutheran minister, grew up to become an atheist and was extremely troubled that we were proselytizing young, innocent boys and girls and making them read from a book of myth, the Bible, believe in somebody and pray to somebody who's not there, God. And he understood correctly that the way to change this is to get to the teachers. So he founded the teacher college movement. Train teachers, you get the book publishers behind you, and you've got the system. And that's exactly what's happened in America.
You asked the question, why do civilizations die? There are spiritual factors in the demise of a civilization, and as we race towards socialism, we're going to see that demise even sooner.
Well, we have to. Be silly to not think we wouldn't see it. I'd like to encourage the audience to read about these things in the little book that we have called The Peer Story, because it tells the story. What has happened to America? It can be attained at our website, NehemiahInstitute.com. NehemiahInstitute.com.
Okay, now your institute is called the Nehemiah Institute. From the Bible book of Nehemiah, where Israel had disobeyed God, so they lost their land and they were exiled in captivity for 70 years under cruel pagan rule. In just a few decades, we've seen this one-time Christian culture become a socialist state like Europe, but it took Europe centuries to become a socialist state, and we've done it in just a few decades.
It's amazing how fast that has happened here. I guess it follows the principle of he who has the greater light shall have greater judgment. And so yes, it's disappearing before our eyes rapidly.
Why do Christian parents continue to send their kids to public school?
They're not aware of the changes, and the schools have made sure that parents aren't aware. You cannot go to a typical PTA meeting and ask questions about curriculum and whatnot. They just shelter that. You can't see tests. You just can't find out as a parent what's going on in the classroom. Kids don't bring home much homework, so there's not really materials to read, and they certainly are not aware of the philosophy that's being spearheaded by the NEA, National Education Association, about the change in the school. Schools in America. So the schools that parents and grandparents went to are gone, long gone. It's simply naive for parents to think, well, I turned out okay. Fact is, they probably didn't turn out okay. They're full of secular thinking themselves, but at least they're not in jail. So they think, I turned out okay, and therefore my kids will turn out okay. But their kids are not in the same school system they were in. They were not taught all the pornography in the name of sex education that their kids are being taught. They were not taught about the Muslim faith and given Muslim names and dressed up like Muslims in honor of Muslim Day in schools, like is going on in different elementary schools across America. So parents need to start asking a lot more questions.
What does the future of the church look like when 8 out of 10 youth are hostile to the Christian faith?
We're tossing over the light of Christianity in favor of a secular, no God, no Bible worldview. And for those adults who say, well, I won't be here, that's pathetic. And not care about the children, the grandchildren that are going to be handed over to a system of darkness. That's pretty frightening. We have a free information packet that we love to send out to people. If they just call 1-800-948-3101, we'll be happy to send an information packet along with our infamous Peers Trend Chart, 1-800-948-3101.
Our guest educator, Dan Smithwick, president of the Nehemiah Institute, has been telling us what determines the destinies of a nation are the beliefs of its citizens. And that's why this is such an important issue, the issue of training children with a biblical worldview, not simply just telling them about the gospel, but training children in a biblical worldview. It's so important to our whole nation, as as the future of this nation will be determined by the worldview of the children. The battlefield for these dramatic changes have been public schools, and the battleground is littered with the dead souls of those who have been converted out of biblical Christianity and into atheism or functional atheism. Biblical education is not a function of the government. Basically, education is not a function of the government, but clearly given to parents by God in Deuteronomy 6:7 that says, "Teach your children. Parents, teach your children when you're at home." That's called homeschooling. Now, with the internet, there are virtually unlimited choices for parents to make. There are unlimited options, but do you have enough interest to look into them? It's important for all of us. Our future as a nation depends on it.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1987, World Views Determine Destinies. That's number 1987, World Views Determine Destinies. And if you would like a copy of our new 6-page newsletter of relevant issues written from a biblical perspective, please call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. From Proverbs 19, verse 8, "He that gets wisdom loves his own soul. He that keeps understanding shall find good."